Good morning. Today is Monday, July the 24th. Joining us this morning is the Executive Director of Redwood Region Economic Development
Commission,
Greg Foster. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Your email's still flying?
Everything's good.
Okay.
I always pull up a few things just in case I have nothing to say. I can look at my phone and say, hey, look at this.
You have nothing to say. That's
right up there. It never happens.
That's right up there with me not having anything to say.
Yeah.
Our quote this morning comes from La Rothschild.
Ooh, there you go.
1665, quote, "We're never so happy or so unhappy as we really think we are."
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting one. Summertime for you guys. Fiscal year, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, June 30th. Our New Year's Eve is June 30.
Are you getting a lot of requests for the gap financing that you guys do? Are you sensing that there's an entrepreneurial uplift going on, or is it kind of what we sense out there if it's not marijuana related?
No, and we can't do marijuana or cannabis or whatever you want to call it.
Pot?
Pot.
Yeah, dope. I mean, let's go back to the old days.
Grass, tea. That's back in the old, really old.
Way back,
yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Medicinal tea.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So we don't participate in those kinds of businesses. We're federally regulated, and so we're not allowed to. But they seem to be fairly well capitalized, most of them anyway.
But. Funny how that goes,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So, but we are busy in other businesses, which is pretty cool. I mean, and I'm sort of pausing for a minute because I'm trying to think of, what have we done? If there are any sort of themes of what we've done, and it's interesting, we've done three or four in the last few months ownership changes, where an owner who was toward the end of their career or something like that, or owned a business and was looking to get out. And so we financed the ownership change.
So that's like primarily just for debt service? It's a viable business.
No, it's a viable business, and the person's retired or retiring, and someone came in, and a couple of them we did where the owner was participating. There might have been a bank participation, and we came in and helped, or we did the whole thing ourselves. There was one we did where we joined with Arcata Economic Development Corporation to go together. And that's always good, I think, because, when you do that, you see this new energy, new ideas coming into the business. Clearly this, and the folks that were doing it were, relatively young, in their 30s or 40s, and we're willing to reinvest in the businesses. And so I like those kinds of businesses and those kinds of changes as well. It makes the loan easier, too, because you have a lot of history that you can build on.
Yeah, it's more trending than it is anything.
Yeah, yeah. Your son is like, would you guys just be quiet and go to break?
Well, no, in 15 seconds.
Oh, really? Okay.
So you got quite a little.
Oh, you got the
thinking
early. See
that big clock on the wall there, the double zero thing?
Fair enough.
You think you remember these things.
Yeah, here there you go.
And now
it's
8:19.
So the fuzzy ball means 30 seconds. There we go.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Foster. Greg, the concept of businesses transitioning, going
yes.
from either growth, constriction, ownership transfer, expansion, all those things, change.
Change.
Change tends not to be something that people embrace wholeheartedly with a smile on their face.
And this is true.
Glow in their heart.
This is true. Change can be very uncomfortable.
So as you're going through these businesses dealing with change, how do you anticipate and make allowances for change?
Well, you know, whenever someone comes to ask, ask for money, we ask them to prepare a business plan. And when I say that, I don't mean one of these, you know, multi-hundred page with charts and all that. But we want to see enough in their discussion with us that they know that they need to be responsive to change and that they have given some thought to the future of their business. And so if someone came in and said, you know, I want to buy this business and it's been doing the same thing for 50 years or 40 years or 30 years, and I don't plan on doing anything different, they need to justify that. And, you know,
and the numbers can justify it.
And you can say, well, hey, it's cash flowing great and everything else. But, you know, history is rife with examples of very successful companies that said, we are so good at what we do, we're never going to change, we're just going to count the money. And, you know, there is no way, because we are so big and so dominant, that Sears Roebuck Company will never be the dominant player in the United States, right? Well, guess what? You know, change happens. And so, you know, and that's, of course, somewhat an extreme example, but, you know, we've got a lot of, you think about, like, certainly on the retail side, you know, the Woolworths, the Kmarts, the Montgomery Wards, the Sears Roebucks, Macy's even now. You know, we see in the retail side these behemoths that if you were in the 60s or 70s, 50s, 60s, 70s, or even earlier, you know, the common wisdom would be these folks will, they're so inbred, they're so part of the American fabric and the American economy, they're always going to be there.
Yeah, Americana.
Yeah, exactly. Almost. Exactly. And, you know, this internet thing, well, whatever. You know, people still going to want to come in and shop and get the, you know. And so even the big airlines, it was interesting. I was listening to a radio show the other day, or a podcast actually, with Herb Kelleher, who started Southwest Airlines. He's an attorney down in Texas, and they started in the early 70s. And you know, back then, there was, you know, they were moving in the period from regulation to unregulated airlines. And, you know, the traditional airline model was to spend a lot of money, get in, and control market share, you know. And so,
and there's a lot of other industries that have done that successfully.
Right.
The beverage industries.
Right. Control market share. Was saying, I talked to my staff and said, hey, why don't we go talking about market share and start focusing on something like profitability? and you know, he was a very disruptive model. And so, you know, back in the early 70s, you had TWA, Pan Am, you had all these sort of, you know, big brands.
Northwest,
although Northwest was absorbed, you know,
early 70s.
Right. You know, Eastern, West. I mean, you had a tremendous amount of airlines, and you didn't really have those. And he was really the first, what they call a ULCC, ultra low cost carrier, which has been very disruptive in the market. And,
Uber of the air.
You know, it was sort of the Walmart of the air, right? Okay. It was you're going to fly cheap. You know, you don't get all the frills and bells and whistles. And so, you know, the airlines that changed did, and are still trying to respond to that. But, you know, before Southwest, you know, people just didn't think of it that way. And so, when you're going into business, especially if you're asking for money from me, then say you're gonna, you know, hold the
blow up the industry,
right? 5 or 10 years. I want to see that you've given some thought to what happens if this happens. You know, what happens? You know, what is the trend? What does the future hold for you?
So was he financed?
Oh, I don't.
Or did he bring his own in? Because I would imagine if I came knocking on your door, pick an industry, doesn't matter, and said I'm gonna be the contrarian. I'm going to blow it. I'm going to do it different. I'm going to get all the established guys to react to me.
Right.
You're going to politely escort me out the door. But yeah. To the car, make sure I leave the neighborhood because I may leave that weird thought behind somewhere.
Right. Well, and in banking, you know, you tend to focus on existing cash flow. And one of the reasons is that you're playing with other people's money. You're playing with your depositors' money, right? And so for banking, it's a matter of managing risk and ensuring that you have enough, you're smart enough to make a profit on your loans and protect the assets of your depositors, because that is not your money as a banker. In those cases, you know, and I don't know how Southwest was financed originally, but that's probably a lot of equity play there.
Let's say it's Bob's Restaurant. I mean, it doesn't have to be Southwest.
Right.
How would you do it?
Well, so we do get startups, and that tends to be more difficult. We tend to look at more at collateral, but we'd also, you know, we just did one where you know, we took on a little more risk than we might have because we believed in the person. And, you know,
is a role for character.
Well, absolutely. Especially when you're a small lender like us.
It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Foster from REDEC, sponsor of the program, along with CDH Painting. Greg, before the break, we were talking a little bit about character and that character plays into the decision.
Absolutely.
How much so?
That's a great question. So it's... there's a couple of ways we measure character, one of which is, and the easiest way for me oftentimes is just looking at your credit report. And, you know, if we see on your credit report, and we're not hard and fast credit scores, we don't just look at your credit score and say, oh, if you're above this number, you get, you know, you're eligible. If you're below, you're not. But we will look at your history and we'll ask questions. So if we see someone who has had a history of not paying their bills, obviously that's something we look at. And if there's not a good reason or there's a lot of disputes, that could call into question the character of the person. That ultimately, when it comes down to it, they just feel entitled or you don't feel an obligation to make good on their debt.
Or may walk away.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes we'll see, you know, a period of like a year out of their history or 6 months where there's a bunch of issues and we'll say, what happened? Oh, I was injured at work. I was waiting for, you know, or something happened, you know, medical, and we'll be more forgiving if there's a good explanation on that, especially if we see that they've done their best to just keep chunking in, you know, $20 here, $50 there, whatever, to get their debt down. We see that's a person who feels that, you know, their word is their bond, that they really feel like, that, you know, they made this obligation or they took on this obligation and they're willing to make good on it. That's a big one for us. And so it's that, you know, that really is how we lead it. I mean, that's usually the first look, but part of it is just having a conversation and, you know, seeing if their stories ring true, you know, getting some character references from other people.
Getting to know them.
Right. And I think that, you know, as I look back over the years of doing this, that the loans that have gone bad and we've had some issues with folks, you know, you look back and go, God, you know, I always had that little nagging feeling or that little thing in my stomach when I was dealing with this person. And And that might be the character, the issue there. So it's not the determinant. Obviously, we look at, you know, some hard and fast underwriting criteria, but it, you know, it, it, what character typically does is determine how far we're willing to go. And, you know, will we take the extra step? Do we believe that that if we're taking on a little more risk or, you know, stretching it out a little bit more, that we're doing that because we believe that ultimately we're sharing the same goal, which is, you know, two goals, really, keeping you in business and getting us paid.
When those two are at odds,
mm-hmm.
what takes priority?
Keeping them in business or getting us paid? We don't get paid if the person's not in business. We know that for a fact. And
it's been demonstrated.
Yes, absolutely.
It's more than theory.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So for us, it's always about, and it's in our mission too, right? We're not just in business to make money. We're in business to get these businesses up and running or expanding and creating opportunity and that sort of thing. And so for us, you know, we do work really closely with our borrowers and our customers. And, you know, we'll go and do repayment terms and concessions and that sort of thing in an attempt to keep that business going or expanding if an issue arises.
How involved do you get? I mean, will you provide management advice?
No. What we'll do is we'll find somebody who can, but...
So there's a line there.
Right. You know, as a lender, what you don't want to do is give advice that, if followed, results in failure. Because there is an actual liability, if not a perceived liability. Well, I did what you told me to do, and then I failed, so... I don't feel like I need to pay you. You know, it's your fault that I'm in where I am. So we're very, you know, we're pretty careful about not giving advice, or at least not too much advice. You know, they're simple things, but.
General counsel rather than.
You know, the advice might be go talk to this person, or you need to focus on this part of your business. And here are some resources we have that can help you with that aren't us. But, you know, you do got to be careful a bit. And it's hard because you naturally, you know, I'm kind of a natural helper. I like to jump in and problem solve with people and try to help out. And at some points you just say, whoop, I'm kind of getting close or crossing the line. I need to back off. This is your problem. You know, I'm a part of, you know, this partnership in as much as I'm as, if not more interested in your success than you are sometimes. And I'm willing to work with you to figure out how to keep you in business and over time get us, you know, our margin.
Now, you had said in one of the previous segments that you can't, because of federal constraints, you're not able to get involved with anything associated with the marijuana industry.
Right.
Now, with these folks that have declared their properties that may or may not also have loans or businesses or does that well, then unqualify them from being able to talk with
and
them?
That's even a, you know, much bigger question than even REDAC, right? Because typically those people, they have a big piece of property and they're out looking for a cannabis permit or have one. Typically they're
or
not
qualifying the property for somebody else,
right? They're, yeah. Typically those folks aren't a REDAC customer. They tend to be someone who's able to participate in the banking side of the house rather than REDAC. But it's certainly a question.
Well, let's say a rancher.
Right.
Okay, and I don't know, either prices go up, prices go down, water disappears, whatever right, might happen right. to be, and now they need a little something for a piece of gear.
Right.
They're just pretty much on their own then, because if you can't, then the banks
right,
can't.
Right.
The banks can't, the credit unions can't. I mean, other than venture capital.
Well, and therein lies the problem that we're facing right now, just as a community and in banking. And, you know, I visited a business the other day that is a processor. I was part of a tour group looking at a cannabis product processor, kind of a middle person between cultivation and the person that makes the final product. And, you know, I said, what's your biggest issue? And he says, find me a bank. And so, you know, the banking industry itself, because of, you know, federal guidelines, which are pretty vague, is really not, you know, is really being very cautious. And rightfully so. We'll blame the banks, but, you know, the government says we probably won't prosecute you, maybe, if you look at the Cole memo, which is very long. But nevertheless, it is still illegal in the federal law, and you could be civilly and criminally liable, you know, for money laundering, for, you know, direct, whatever. And so, you know, if you're a bank officer, you're thinking, well, you know, how far do I want to go on this? And so, you know, with a, you know, very a much of a big lack of clarity in policy, it's hard to operate in that space.
KINS, News and Information Times, 844. We'll be back with more from Greg Foster.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:48. Couple minutes left with Mr. Foster.
All right.
Great look. Yeah. Woohoo! All right.
Thank God that's over.
Walking, as I know you do, through the primary business district of Eureka districts. If you were to grade it on an economic healthy scale, with A being and F being, you know, kind of taking the educational model.
Right.
Are we a C? Are we a D? Are we a B? Where are we?
I want to say we're an incomplete. How's that for punting the question? But, and here's why. Because I think that there are businesses down there that are A's that are doing really well. I'm seeing some innovative kind of stuff going on. I see some really folks who are young, who are reinvesting their time and their money. And so that's heartening. What's disheartening to me is when I see properties, especially, that are allowed, that aren't being invested in, that there is not a vision. I see, you know, there's big gaps down there, and I think we need to invest and change how we're dealing with a lot of that. I guess some of the older property owners to invest, step up, or step out, because no matter how well those little businesses are doing, how much they're investing, if you're getting drugged down, if you have something next to you that's not, and
yeah, if the outside looks ratty,
right. So I don't want to give it a grade because I think it's unfair to the people who are the A's.
Ah, boy, does that sound like a teacher's kid. See everybody tomorrow.